like?
John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. Why? Because I have a pink shirt? Yeah, but I don't have a white jacket, right? Yeah, if I had a white jacket, then you could do the Saturday Night Live thing. But no, I can't. No, you have to have both. You have to have the pink shirt and the white jacket. I don't have that. Hello, everybody. Martin Zender. We're finishing up a week. I got on a few side trails Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. No, I didn't. Just Monday and Tuesday. Now we're going to get back to the seven sealed scroll. And since we haven't talked about it for a while, I'm going to read you again the paragraph A. E. Nock wrote concerning that scroll. And then I'm going to tell you what the seven sealed scroll isn't. Because, of course, we have modern expositors saying what the seven sealed scroll is. And they're making a large assumption concerning it, which they ought not. And because of this, they are leading many astray. And again, if you look at any commentary on the unveiling of Jesus Christ on YouTube or in print, you're going to find that they're all saying pretty much the same thing, except for this show. This show is different because we are basing our conclusions and our interpretations of this book on a sound translation, the Concordant Literal New Testament. These other people aren't doing that. And they're not giving God credit for meaning what he says and saying what he means. We're doing that. So in chapter 5, to slightly go backwards here to review a little bit, we have a scroll handed the lambkin. And I'm going to read the introductory paragraph to this chapter called The Seven Sealed Scroll and the Unveiling of Jesus Christ, written by Mr. A.E. Nock. We are now about to behold the most momentous act in human history. For when the lambkin takes the scroll from the right hand of him who is sitting on the throne, i.e. God, the tide turns in the affairs of mankind. The crisis is reached, which will eventuate in the utter destruction of evil and the ultimate triumph of good. Amen. The utter destruction of evil and the ultimate triumph of good. Because up until that moment, the powers of darkness were in the ascendant. From that time, they are surely doomed. And the powers of evil have been on the ascendant since Eden, since our progenitors blew it, quote unquote, in the Garden of Eden. Satan has been on the ascendant and evil has been on the upswing, if you haven't noticed. But now, with the handing of this scroll from God to the lambkin, this is the beginning of the end of evil, and it's a beginning of the ascendancy of power, glory, and might. To him be the power and the glory for the eons of the eons. It's a familiar phrase to us, at least it is to many of us out of the King James Version. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But that, as wonderful as that sounds, it's a mistranslation. Forever and ever. It's not telling us anything specifically because the translation is screwed. They didn't see the word ion there. They translated it ever. They missed the plural. The eons of the eons. They missed the genitive case of the. And so they added the word and, which is the Greek connective chi, which is not anywhere in the neighborhood. So instead of to God be glory forever and ever, we have in the Concordant Version, to God be the glory for the eons of the eons. To God be glory for the two eons of all the eons, because these two upcoming eons are the only eons in which he gets the glory that is due him. So, up to that moment of the handing of this scroll, which is the beginning of the end for the powers of evil, it's like they hate to see this. It's like, oh no, he just handed the scroll over. And the scroll's going to be open, and there are seven seals that will seal our doom. Love the play on words there. Sealed scroll, seal the doom of Satan and of evil. And up to that moment, the powers of darkness were in the ascendant. From that time, they are surely doomed. On so sublime a subject, it were sin to slight a single detail. So we will inquire carefully into its significance. And that's what we're going to do to end this week and to begin next week. The seal introduces the ultimate jubilee. Going to talk to on Monday about the jubilee in Israel and how it was associated with a scroll. A sealed scroll, and then an open scroll. And we're going to see what that is a type of. We're going to look at all the details because it's a sin not to, because this is such a great moment. Now, expositors have taken this and they once again believe that these seven seals that are opened are a gradual illumination of the history of the church. Why is it? Are these people so self-absorbed that they want to see themselves in all of Scripture? I bet this is the history of the church. I bet it's not. And I bet that when you finally do see the actual history of the church, you're not going to be sitting there all smug about it. It's going to be embarrassing to you, because the history of the church is an embarrassment to humanity. And when God finally brings out the projector at the great white throne and says, okay, ladies and gentlemen, now we're going to see a history of the church, and all the leaders of the church, the Joel Osteens, the popes, the caliphs, the pilots, they're going to be sitting there, that's right, here it comes, and God's going to turn on the 16mm movie, and they're going to be humiliated because they think it's going to be, this is your life, as if it's a remarkable history, and it's going to show the failure, the embarrassment, the murder, all the evil that has been done under the guise of good. And so, no, this scroll is not a history of the church, you dim-witted expositors, you dim-witted church people, because you don't want to see a history of the church. Seal number one is the glory of the first century. Seal number two is the glory we experienced in the Dark Ages when the Catholic Church ran Europe and instigated the Inquisition, under which millions of people were tortured and killed because they believed the truth, which of course we thought was a lie. Anyway, let's go on to seal three. Oh, you idiots! No, it has nothing to do with you. In fact, I will say this. This is a shock. The contents of this scroll are never read. They're never read. Have you noticed that? Nobody knows what is written. Even after these seals are broken and the scroll is unraveled, it's never read. We only see the result of what is written in the scrolls. The scrolls aren't read. We just see what happens. The seals are broken and calamities come on the earth due to what is written in these scrolls. But what's written is never read. So how can this be an unfolding of the history of the church? You pompous bastards. It's not. John, in the first chapter of this book, John is told to write what he is observing in a scroll. So the seven-sealed scroll is a scroll within a scroll. The scroll that tells us the future is not the seven-sealed scroll. Many people want to use this scroll as a crystal ball to see what's going to happen. No, because it's never read. We don't know what it says. We only know what follows in the aftermath of the loosening of the seals. If you want to know the future, that's found in the scroll in which this scroll is unraveled, i.e. what John wrote. That's the scroll of the unveiling, because this itself is a scroll. Are you following me? In the first chapter, John is told to write what you are observing in a scroll. Chapter 1, verse 11. What we're reading is that scroll. The seven-sealed scroll isn't that scroll. That's the scroll within the scroll. The unveiling itself is what we want to see, what is the future. That is what is being read in the seven ecclesias. It's what I'm reading you today. By this, God reveals to us what is to come. And again, the expositors of today can't resist the temptation to make this about the church. That old thing again. Now, here's another more reasonable temptation. Is in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4, it is said, Daniel is told by the messenger, I believe it's Gabriel there, to, quote, seal the scroll till the era of the end, unquote. That's Daniel 12, verse 4. Seal the scroll till the era of the end. And again, he is told, quote, the words are stopped up and sealed until the era of the end. And it is thought, you may have heard this, that the seven-sealed scroll is that which was given promise to Daniel that would come. That it was there. Daniel had it, but he couldn't look at it yet. Because it was to be sealed and not read until the end. And so you would be tempted to see these disclosures from Daniel in the unveiling. But we could say that about the unveiling itself And maybe that's what was being referred to in Daniel 12. I think so. If I had to give you my interpretation of that, I would have to say that would be the unveiling itself, but not the seven sealed scroll. The reason, again, is because not one single word is read from the seven sealed scroll of Revelation chapter 5. Now, this is the important conclusion that we reach from this, is that this scroll, such as those referenced by our Lord, I'm going to give you those references again, in Matthew 19:7 and in Mark 10:4, Jesus speaks of a scroll of divorcement. And it was a legal document. And again, to refresh your memory, a scroll can be of varying lengths. Isaiah was a scroll. The entire book, all 66, quote, chapters. One big scroll. A bill of divorcement was a legal proceeding recorded. And it was probably very brief. And that also was a scroll. So our conclusion is this scroll was not meant to be read. The scroll within the scroll, the seven sealed scroll of the unveiling chapter 5. Because had it been meant to be read, it would have been read. And we would have read the words of the scroll. But it's never read. We don't even know the contents of it. We only know what follows because it is opened. And the conclusion is this. That this is not a book to be read. The King James Version calls the scroll a book. It's not a book. It is a legal instrument to be put into execution. Mark this. The seven sealed scroll of Revelation 5 is a legal instrument to be put into execution. It has been determined by God eons ago that this eon would be finished, not by a gradual reformation, but by calamities. And we're going to see this next week when I show you the difference between redemption, which is nice, and deliverance, which is strong. We're going to see the difference between what God has promised and what God delivers. And we're going to see the results of the opening, the unsealing of this scroll. And we're going to finally see things that have been determined before the beginning of the eons by God, finally executed. That's a tough word, executed. I used to see these signs in a field. I used to play in this field when I was a kid. It was down Corab Avenue in Canton, Ohio. And it says, trespassers will be prosecuted, or something like that. And as a kid, I didn't know the difference between prosecuted and executed. I just saw the cuted, and it sounded horrible to me. And I thought if they found me in that field, I was going to be killed. To me, it meant trespassers will be executed. Prosecuted, executed, who cares? When you see the word cuted in there, it's dreadful. So we're going to see the execution of a legal instrument. And that word instrument is very solemn as well. And this is a solemn occasion. This is not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. Not only is it not any of those things, it is the crisis of the Aeonian times.